The residential streets on the outskirts of town were wide and dusty. As Frank rode along them, leading the two horses, a couple of kids wearing short pants and caps left off playing some sort of game and started trotting along beside him.
Damn! That's a big hat. He must be a cowboy.
Hey, mister, are you a cowboy?
I done some cowboying in my time. Used to work on a ranch in Texas when I was a youngster my own self.
Look at his gun! You ever shoot anybody with it, mister?
Every now and then. But only when I have to.
Are you Wild Bill Hickok?
I'm afraid not. Bill Hickok's been dead almost 20 years, I'm sad to say.
Was he a friend of yours?
Not really. I met the man a time or two. I wouldn't say we were friends.
Wow. You knew Wild Bill Hickok? What about Wyatt Earp?
Him and his brothers. Doc Holliday, too.
Were you in Tombstone for the big gunfight there?
Nope. I missed that one.
Have you ever been in a big gunfight?
Probably not any you've heard of.
Aw, he ain't a real gunfighter. He probably ain't even from Texas. Hey, mister, is that a dog or a wolf?
He's a dog. He might have a little wolf in him, though.
Can we play with him?
Wouldn't be a good idea. He's not a real playful sort.
We see coyotes sometimes. They come down out of the hills. Mostly they stay away from folks, though.
So I've heard.
Did you come here to kill somebody? I told you he ain't a real gunfighter. Ow, what'd you do that for? 'Cause it felt like it.
A second later, the two youngsters were rolling around in the dusty street wrestling. Frank grinned, shook his head, and rode on. The houses were being replaced by businesses now. Frank had spotted a squat, thick-walled adobe building with a sign over its open door that read Cantina. He wasn't much of a drinker, but he had been on the trail long enough so that a cool beer to cut the dust in his throat sounded pretty good. He angled Goldie toward the building, stopped at the hitch rail in front of it, and tied the horses to it.
Stay, Wolf.
Frank went inside, grateful for the cool dimness after being in the blazing California sun. The place wasn't very busy. A couple of men stood drinking at the bar. Only one of the tables was occupied. The lone man who sat there lazily dealt himself a solitaire hand. He looked like a professional gambler, but his threadbare suit and old hat had seen better days. Frank moved to the bar and hailed the chunky Mexican bartender.
A beer, please.
Si, señor.
He left a good space between himself and the two other drinkers, who were dressed like cowboys.
That's that gunfighter Morgan, I tell you.
When Frank glanced over, he saw one of them nudging the other in the ribs with an elbow. They both looked at him and then looked away. That hadn't taken long. Not long at all. Now that he'd been recognized, Frank's hope was that the two waddies down the bar would just want to talk to him and hear about any gunfights he'd been involved in, like those youngsters outside. The worst thing would be if one or both of those hombres fancied themselves fast on the draw and eager to prove it by bracing a known gunfighter, especially one as famous as Frank Morgan. It was out of his hands now, so Frank sipped the beer the bartender set in front of him and waited to see what was going to happen.
Hey, mister. My amigo here claims that you're Frank Morgan, the fellow they called the Drifter. Is that right?
I'm Morgan.
Told you. Told you I seen his picture on books.
I hear that you're a famous gunfighter, Mr. Morgan. I'd be plumb honored if you let me buy you a drink.
I'm much obliged, boys. But I'm not much of a drinking man. This one will do me just fine. And then I have to be moving on. I just stopped for a minute to wet my whistle.
Well, that's not very friendly of you.
I didn't stop to make friends.
Come on, Lonnie. You don't want to horn in where you ain't wanted.
Listen, Mr. High and Mighty Morgan. All I wanted to do was to buy you a drink.
I said I was obliged.
You know why I wanted to buy you a drink?
Just being friendly, I suppose.
I figured it'd be a nice thing to do, buying one last drink for the man I was about to kill.
I'm not looking for trouble. I've had my drink and now I'll move on.
You're not going anywhere, Morgan. Not until you and me have it out.
I got nothing against you, kid. And you got no reason to draw on me.
No reason? How about to show Barclay here and old Pedro that I'm faster than you?
Don't kill anybody on my account. I'm not even really paying attention.
Please, Señor Lonnie, not shooting. The floor is dirt, so she cleans up easy, but it's no good for business when people get killed in my cantina.
Shut up! This old man insulted me.
Now, how'd I do that? By not taking that drink you wanted to buy for me?
by thinking that you're faster than me. I can't let you get away with that. I'm the fastest draw around here, and I'm gonna prove it.
Frank started turning toward Lonnie, still holding the empty beer mug in his left hand. Without warning, he smashed the mug against the right side of Lonnie's head and knocked the young cowboy's hat flying. Lonnie's knees unhinged. He crumpled to the hard-packed dirt floor.
Hey!
His friend took a fast step back. The young cowboy's hand dropped to the butt of his gun in what appeared to be a purely instinctive move. He froze with his fingers wrapped around the Colt's walnut grips because Frank's .45 was already out and leveled.
Don't draw, son.
Don't shoot, Mr. Morgan. I ain't touching my gun now. See?
I don't intend to if I don't have to. What's your name?
Jeff, Mr. Morgan.
Well now, Jeff, I'm gonna walk out of here, get on my horse, and go about my business. Is that all right with you?
Oh, yes, sir.
When I'm gone, you might want to help your friend up and take him back to whatever spread you boys work for. I didn't want to hurt him at all, but I figured an aching head was better than a bullet in the brisket.
Yes, sir. I never even saw you draw, Mr. Morgan. It was like the gun was just there in your hand without you having to do a thing.
You tell Lonnie that when he wakes up. All right if I holster my gun. You don't want to try your luck, too.
Oh, no, sir.
I'm sorry about busting that mug. I'll pay for it.
No need, senor. I'd rather have to pick up busted glass than to have to haul out some young fool's ventilated carcass.
I insist. For your trouble, amigo.
Hey, if you insist.
Tell Lonnie I'm sorry I had to knock him out.
I'm surprised you didn't kill that young fool. I was ready to hit the floor in case any wild shots started flying.
There wouldn't have been any wild shots.
No, probably not. You have the look of a man who's weary of killing, Mr. Morgan.
Let me go!
Lonnie, no!
Frank had just pulled Goldie's reins loose from the rail. When Lonnie burst through the cantina's door, jerking away from Jeff, who was trying to hold him back, Frank saw the gun in the young cowboy's hand as he crouched and turned and dropped the reins. The bullet missed, whipping past Frank. Lonnie was trying to bring the revolver down from being kicked up by the recoil of the missed shot. Frank's gun was already in his hand again. Frank's slug punched Lonnie in his chest and knocked him backward into the arms of a shocked Jeff, who caught him and held him up.
Oh, God!
Lonnie shook and blood trickled from the corners of his mouth. The gun slipped out of his grip, hung for a second with one finger in the trigger guard, and then fell to the ground at his feet. His eyes rolled up in his head and he went limp. He would have fallen if not for Jeff supporting him.
You killed him! He didn't have to kill him!
That's where you're wrong, kid. If you're dumb enough to throw down on the drifter, somebody's gonna die. And chances are it's not gonna be an old curly wolf like Frank Morgan.